Is the sleep coming?
Twice a night now.
Pretty good.
How about you?
Yeah.
Doggy's okay?
Yes! Yes! Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 59, Cincuenta y Nuevo, of the Paid Search Podcast. I'm here with my hot partner. He's hot right now. He's got a very hot brand, lots of mentions in the press, lots of people contacting him. The phone is ringing off the hook. The man with the tightest jean shorts, four seasons year-round, Chris Schaefer. How's it going, my friend?
It is an unpredictable day. I'm trying to stay focused here. This is exciting. We got premature yesing and jean shorts mentioning even before I even say a word. So it's an exciting day.
We have an exciting podcast to talk about here, Chris. Last week we had the great, brilliant David Shapiro on to talk about Facebook ads. And David, we hope you enjoyed the interview, and we hope you're having a good commute there in New York City. And remember, step over the homeless people, David, and not through. So, Chris, today we're here to talk about specific AdWords ad copy tips. We've dealt a little bit with ad copy, but we're really going deep today, and we're really going to do what we're known for. We're going to give specific actionable examples that can help people, and they can get into our minds, see how we think about ads and how we structure our ads and copy we use, and hopefully it helps them out. Now, Chris, before we start, I just want to gauge your feelings on the importance of ad copy. We always talk about search terms are probably the most important thing, thinking like the user, bidding, conversions. Where does ad copy kind of come on your totem pole of AdWords importance?
So when I think about ad copy, basically what I think of is the fact that I can build the best campaign with great ad groups and keywords and all this, but for the end user, the ones who interact with my campaign and that are potential leads, the ad is literally the only thing that they see. So I can have the best keywords and, you know, best bids and do everything really well, but in the end, the only thing that's visible to people is the ad copy. So to me, it is as important, if not more important, than the keywords. I need to make sure my quality of traffic is good, and if the ad copy, you know, is crap, then nobody's going to click on it. It doesn't matter.
That is a great point. I mean, for me, I love search terms and all that, because we see this side of things, and we know that, okay, sometimes ad copy, maybe it's a little overblown, but just like you say, people see the ad copy and that's all they see. So, of course, it's very important to the end user. And if it's important to the end user, even if it doesn't seem like the most important thing when you're inside the AdWords account all the time, it is the most important thing, like you're saying, because it's what the end user sees. Chris, you pull down those tight little jean shorts often, and you put a hot little dookie right on my metaphors every time I try to give one. But give me a chance here, Chris. Dare I say, is it like a chef? We're like chefs back in the kitchen. We're getting the primest ingredients, the best, freshest organic ingredients. We mix it all together. We know it's going to taste good. We know it's going to be very healthy for the user, and it's going to taste good for the person sitting at the table. But if we present it in a horrible way, they're not going to think we're a good chef. Is that a good metaphor?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey.
It's the reason that I don't like casseroles. You know, I love chicken and cream of mushroom and cheese and crispy onions, but when you shove them all into a dish and mix them together and blend it and it comes out as a big slop, suddenly it's not as appealing and I don't want it. So there you go.
Yep.
You know, I did not dookie on your metaphor. You're welcome.
Thank you. One for 44 is not bad. So, Chris, let's get into it here. So just so everyone knows, Chris and I, we go our separate ways during the week. We think about our episode and we each bring things to the table. And we're going to go through three, we call them main tips that have to do with ad copy. This is three things we both thought of independently, and we're going to give our three best ad tips with some examples here. So I'm going to start us off, Chris. Mine is to be relevant to the keyword and or use the keyword in the ad. So you have to show the search user that's searching Google for a problem. They need a mover. They have a plumbing problem. They need a plumber. They can't run anymore. Their knee hurts. They need a knee doctor. They're going to Google to search for a way to solve their problem. you do that, you get in front of them with the keywords, but you have to let them know with the ad copy that you can solve their problem. So very basic, very fundamental example there. If you're targeting the keyword pest control Dallas and you want to get in front of people who have a pest control problem in Dallas, this is not the whole ad, but at least part of the ad, talk about that keyword that be very relevant to their search. So I might have a headline that something as simple as Dallas Pest Control Services. Again, that's just one piece of the ad, but I want to be relevant. I want to talk directly to that keyword, and most times I want to even use that keyword. So my first main tip is to be relevant to the keyword and or even use it prominently in your ad copy. So Chris, what is your first main tip here for the people?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And to step away a bit from the idea of just practical, right? So Jason, I think that's a very robot focused idea, right? There's always the human aspect and the Google bot aspect, right? The Google bot, right, being the quality score, human being the fact that people are going to be intrigued by it. Okay, so to go more on the human side, I'm going to focus on features versus benefits. Okay, now this is a tip that is designed to get a bit more variety in your ad copy. Whenever you write an ad, you might be interested in sharing with everybody all the different types of things that you can provide with your service. So that would be a feature, okay?
Okay.
And those features can provide a benefit to the person hiring you for the services, okay? That's the benefit, okay? So here's the practical example. A benefit for a company that is focused on providing IT infrastructure moving services. Okay, so this is kind of like, very specific type of stuff. Right. Okay, it's a client I recently got, and it was a whole new world to me. It's really interesting, but there are movers that specifically move rack systems, server systems, across the country. Okay, so I was learning about this, and this was a big deal because they have a lot of features, but it's important to also push benefits. So a benefit of this server moving company is seamless server migration services. Okay. It's a seamless process. You don't have to worry about it, right? This is a benefit as a person who would be stressed out about the fact that they're moving their corporate headquarters from Los Angeles to New York, something like that. Okay, a feature is something that specifically they can do that would make it useful to the person. Okay, a feature would be they can the device disconnect and reinstallation is included. Okay, so that message, right, in the, let's say, the description of the ad, probably too long for headlines, but you might mention this as a feature. They can disconnect and reconnect all of your devices for you. That's not a benefit. That's a feature. Of, right, their services. So
a feature to the end user.
Mm-hmm. So keep those, right, keep those in mind whenever you're writing these messages to, is this a feature or is this a benefit? And I'm not saying that one's better than the other. The answer is to split and test different ways. Should I go with emotion or should I go with facts?
Right. That's a great point. And, with the new expanded text ads, we have the two headlines and the 80 character description. There's plenty of room to play with. And Chris, I've been accused of being an egoist, accused of being a narcissist, but I got news for everybody. I am, but so are you. So is everybody. Everybody's in it for themselves. Uh-huh. And if you can convey those benefits to the end user doing the search, it usually helps convince them to click on your ad and engage you and see if you'd be a good fit for whatever need they have. So Chris, going back to the very simple world I live in, Chris, because I'm all about the facts and getting things right, and I live a simple life here in Oklahoma. Call to actions. Let's not take people for being smarter than they are. Let's treat our search users like Bill Maher thinks of America. We just think they're idiots. So we got to tell them what to do. So I like to have call to actions. Chris, call me old fashioned. Take me out to Luby's and buy me a Jell-O after dessert. And I'm yours. I'm old fashioned. Okay.
Fried fish.
And
fried fish. Oh man.
Well, give me the fried fish. Give me that nice bun. Oh, I could eat it 7 days a week.
I think that's where I'm going tonight now. Thanks a lot. Oh man, that sounds so good.
I honestly might go to Luby's and I might put a little picture on my Facebook page about it to back it up. I have not been to Luby's in years, but I need to get back there. So Chris, call me old fashioned. I like call to actions, okay? Get a free moving quote now. Call now. Talk to a doctor immediately. I like those call to actions, but the last one, Chris, I saw it perk your eyes there. Talk to a doctor immediately. You can combine a call to action instead of just saying call now or get a quote. You can combine it with a benefit like you just talked about. Talk to a doctor immediately. That conveys the call to action. So you're telling them to call, but it also gives them a benefit. They can get on the phone with the doctor immediately and see if they can solve their problem or if it's a good fit for what they need. So I like the idea of using call to actions in pretty much every single ad and then also taking it to a more advanced level and combining them with benefits. So that's my second tip. Now, Chris, going back to I did not take you for this kind of groovy swinger kind of guy. Pull up the bell bottoms there. Your title here is Hit on Their Emotions. So you're going away from the simple because you know how to do all that stuff, and you're taking it to another level. Hit on their emotions. What do you mean by that?
Right, right. So again, with the idea, you know, Jason, and I think this is working well. Jason, I think you're hitting on, you know, call to action is more of a personal, you know, approach. This is also an personal approach, but just with a different spin. So call to actions, while I try and use them as much as I can in my ads, I get really bored of them because there's only so many ways you can get someone to click. Call now, you know, free quote, all this kind of stuff, right? I mean, it's very predictable. Everybody pretty much says the same thing. The fact is, sometimes what I like to do is elicit some type of emotion out of the user. So what I might say in this example is a landscaper or someone who does home improvement or something like that. I might use the search in the headline, use the headline, "Love Your Backyard Again." Okay, so you know, someone who's isn't comfortable where they're at, you know, they might bring those emotions forward about that they're unhappy with, you know, having to sit in the sun in an ugly backyard, right?
Right.
Someone who is searching for a birthday present for their significant other, right? Jason, you know, our wives do have birthdays. I'm certain yours does. Mine does. And it's always the most stressful time of the year, that and Christmas and Valentine's and Mother's Day. And gosh, anyway, the idea is, for some of these things, people are looking for an answer, especially if you have an e-commerce site or something. You want to strike some kind of emotion to say, this is the answer you're looking for. Like, this is the best one. This is what you're going for. So right. In this example, it's a client that does helicopter rides in a downtown area. They do tours or something like that. So the idea is you take, you try and invoke some type of emotion of what they'll experience by purchasing the service. So you might say in the ad, "Private romantic helicopter tour of downtown." That, I mean, Mother's Day's done. You know, now, perfect Chris, Christmas present. You know, that sounds exactly what I'm looking for. That's an emotional, like, oh, I can see myself doing that.
Can I push back?
No. Yes. Okay.
Can you take it? Because I see people out there asking this, and I have this question in my head too. And I have my own answer, but we'll see what you think. What if the helicopter company is worried about that second ad? Because yes, they do get lovebirds that come on dates, but they also do construction site photography or whatever. They do other stuff with their helicopters, right? They take VIPs from the airport to downtown so they can give their speech or whatever. What would you say if a client said to you, "Yeah, I like that ad for that search, but I mean, how can we? What would happen if a VIP going from the airport to downtown sees that ad? It may not interest them."
Well, I mean, I can give you a very specific example. The fact is that you only put this ad copy in an ad group that would reference someone searching for a private or romantic or Valentine's or Mother's Day, some type of incentive in the ad, or excuse me, in the keyword itself that would strike this search as a personal benefit type of search. Okay.
Helicopter dates.
Right. Date. Yeah. Gotcha. Date like that. So the idea is that you wouldn't put this in something that would say aerial photography. Right. I mean,
right.
You wouldn't say that. So that's the idea. You gotcha. You segregate and separate the
now if the, if the keyword was like helicopter companies Houston or whatever, and it could be someone searching either.
Oh,
you don't
yeah,
know their intent.
Definitely not.
Are you trying multiple ads in the ad group, seeing what more people are searching, or are you coming up with benefits that can apply to everybody?
I would definitely not put this in a general category campaign.
Gotcha.
It would have to be something that was specific to date or romance or couple or late night or sunset, something like that.
Okay, so general would be arrive at your destination on time, take the VIP way to arrive, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Good point.
Gotcha.
Good point.
Yeah, I was just curious because that was so specific. My next main tip here, Chris, is to – this is my favorite one, and I always try to think about ad copy this way. You want the click, right? There's 10 organic listings. There's the map listings. There's now ads with the map listing. I get asked every day now from clients, how do we do that? Add your ad extension for locations. I can't control that.
Yeah.
That's your Google My Business account. Link it to the account.
That's a nightmare.
Sorry, a little therapy, Chris, here.
Ugh.
But yeah, those are new ads, the new map ads that show up on the main page. And then, of course, you have all the AdWords ads. So my point is there's a ton of options for users to click on. And I like to think of the when you're making ad copy, I like to think of it as earn your click, present an offer that just can't even be denied. So when I go to Google, I'm an advanced Google user, so obviously I know what's going on. But my mindset, Chris, is, okay, I'm going to throw in a search here, Movers Oklahoma City. Everybody show me what you got. Everyone present your best offer to me, and I'll click on the ad or organic listing that gives me the best option here. So the way I want to earn that click and become the best option is to come up with something that just can't be denied. It catches the eye, and someone has to click on it to see what's going on. So I came up with a few examples. They were on the fly. Maybe they're not all as good as I just hyped them up, but you can let me know, Chris. So the first one I've got for Movers, we guarantee you'll have a stress-free move. It speaks to the benefit there, stress-free. And we'll guarantee it. So I'm thinking, you know what? The other guys just say two men in a truck, whatever. What is this guarantee about? So I might be clicking on that one. The next one for Movers, Chris, over 2,000 moves successfully completed. Again, when everyone else's ad says Movers Dallas, call now for a quote, I'm telling you I've done 2,000 moves. So to me, that makes me interested as a search user. 2,000 moves, this something has to be going right. Let me see what that's about. The next one, Chris, serving San Diego clients since 1993. Just putting it out there that you've been around for over a quarter of a century. What's that about? Let me see if that's really true. I'm going to click on that ad. A couple more here, Chris. Getting specific with the ad copy and just giving it out to people and really giving them what they're looking for, straight up answers, 100% guaranteed price of $90 an hour for all moves. No games, no lies.
Solid.
I see other moving ad copy out there. Get a free quote now, call in, two men, we're always on time, whatever. No, no games, $90 an hour. That's a competitive rate. Click on my ad and call in right now. We'll get your move booked, solve your problem. The last one, and I really like this, we offer the only non-surgical ACL repair in Boston. So if you're in Boston and you provide some kind of ACL medical things that you can do to help people, if you're a doctor out there, you're targeting ACL repair searches, ACL surgery, and your ad says, and say you really do have this kind of service, and I know a few doctors who do, we offer the only non-surgical ACL repair in Boston. How's anybody going to compete with that ad? If I'm a search user, I'm going to go, oh, they've got something no one else does. I'm going to click on their ad because I don't want to do surgery, and I want to see if they can help me. So thinking about what you can offer that no one else can in your market and maybe come up with some ad copy that way. Chris, what do you think about those? Did they live up to the hype?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I think that I think that works well. I want to take this a little bit different direction. And one thing now, Jason, you know, editorial rules for AdWords is supposed to be strict, right? There's supposed to be some rules about superlatives.
Back it up. Back it up, baby. How do you back it up? Back up your claims.
Yeah.
That's what they always tell us.
The idea here is I've found that using superlatives is actually pretty lax in Google. And you can get away with quite a bit. And my rule is basically, if you can get away with it, do it. You know, right? If you can say a certain thing in an ad and Google lets you use it, do it, because they're not gonna until they punish you or catch you. All they're really gonna do is just disqualify your ad.
One caveat, Chris, is you always got to think about, just for people out there, you got to think about your own industry. So if you have your own ethical rules, like lawyers or doctors,
sure,
you got to pay attention to that.
Sure. Yeah, you wouldn't want to step on any issues to get the client in trouble or your own company in trouble. But
right.
So the idea here is that superlatives are the best. A little bit of a pun, of course. Superlatives are the fact that you use words that imply best, fastest, bestest. Right. So basically, this is what I'm going for. You're a LASIK surgeon, and you say in your ad, the headline, the best LASIK surgeon in LA. Okay. You might get disapproved for it and say, you can't use that. You can't say that, you know, unless you have some kind of proof. Okay. But sometimes you can. And here's the thing. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. There are a percentage of people out there that when they search something on Google, and Jason, you know, you've seen it. They search.
Yep.
Who is the best LASIK surgeon in
right.
You know, X? And then they click on the first thing they see because they think Google went and found them the best LASIK surgeon and showed them the results. Right? Yep. They trust. They implicitly trust Google. That you've got to play on those trust factors. Right? So you say the best LASIK surgeon in LA. Next, the other idea here is a roofing company, the fastest roofing repair company, right? You can say that, and this is a bit of an emotional push, but you're saying fastest, so that's, you know, superlative there. So the fastest roofing company, okay, I can get this roof repaired really, really quickly. That's great.
Right.
And then the other one, if someone's buying security doors, the idea is Houston's highest quality security doors. Highest quality, right. Most secure. You know, you can change those around a little bit, but the idea is, again, highest quality, most secure. You know, pushing the fact that you may not have a third party verifying this, but my experience is, if you can get away with it, do it.
Exactly, Chris, and this is a great point. I'm very smart and an expert at AdWords. Our audience are experts, you know, at this point, and very smart people in this space. So this just sounds so stupid and idiotic to us. Just saying it myself, the best LASIK surgeon in LA, that's the best you can do. Chris Schaefer, Google partner, best in the game. That's the best you can come up with, but you're spot on, Chris. It works.
Yeah.
Best, top rated, highest quality, whatever. It actually works. So I think the main takeaway, Chris, from this first, you know, the main tips is that any of these things on their own kind of sound like not a great ad and not the full picture. But the beautiful thing about the new expanded ads, the best kind of ads, you mix all these kind of tips and parts of the ad together. And if you mix it all together, it can make a super strong ad. So, Chris, some additional tips we're going to cover. I have a couple. You have a couple. They're very simple. Mine are use all the space available. To me, it really does make a difference. There's no reason to cut yourself short and not use all the space or close to all the space that's available. When you test and focus ads, focus on click-through rate, focus on conversion rates. And then my final little small tip here is don't ignore the path URLs. These are basically the display URL, what used to be called the display URL. They're two 15-character parts of the display URL that come after the core URL. And you really can get creative with those, and not a lot of people use them, just generally speaking. So definitely make the most of your path URLs. So, Chris, what are your kind of small tips here?
Right. So when you're writing an ad, I think I often run into clients that really get hung up on the whole idea of the description in the ad. You know, they say, I would like to put the discount code in the description. What if we put the discount code, you know, enter, you know, Google discount, you know, let's put that in the discount code in the description. And that way people can know that they put that in our checkout system and they'll get 20% off.
Right.
And I'm blown away to think that they would somehow think that people would be savvy enough to stop before they click before they even, you know, come to the landing page and see that they even want to purchase, that they think that people are going to copy that discount code, you know, or pay any kind of attention to it. You know, obviously, right. This stuff needs to be on the landing page. My experience is that people, and I've said this before, people click just so fast. They don't realize they're spending $5, $15, $50, $80 for these clicks. You know, I mean, there's a wide range of CPC expenses, and people don't realize they're spending money. People don't spend the time to read that description. I think it's really important that you focus on headlines. Make sure your point that you're trying to make is in the headline. Don't save it for the description. If it's too long, try and cut it and paste it together in different ways, phrase it in different ways, but make sure it's right. in the headline. Don't overestimate the value of the description line.
And headline number two, that is equal.
Oh, that's yeah. Also I'm referring to both headline one and two. Right. Right. I use them congruently.
Yeah, that's a great point. People are clicking fast, and it also makes it easier to test new ideas because coming up with new headlines is obviously easier than coming up with new, longer descriptions. That's a great tip there, Chris. Now, Chris, we're going to close out our ad copy episode here, going over some examples of what not to do. And I'm going to kick us off here. Don't make ads that are not relevant, like the headlines are not relevant to the search. So I did a search today, Chris, and I searched Plumbers OKC for Oklahoma City. And the headline was Sewer Line Repair Experts. And that is a perfect headline if I was to search sewer line repair.
Right.
Yeah, or sewer plumbing companies for sewer or whatever. Something about the sewer. But for a plumber where you've got a dookie stuck in the toilet and you need to get...
It's the second time you've mentioned poop on this podcast. We're at an all-time high right now.
All-time high, yes. Well, that's wild. So you need a plumber. You're not taking last night's casserole from the fridge and trying to flush it down the toilet, or maybe you are in a certain way. So, Plumbers OKC, the ad that came up was sewer line repair experts. That is obviously a lack of control in your keywords, your match types, your negative keywords, all that stuff, and ad groups and ad copy. But don't do that because it's not going to work well. Make an ad that is, you know, relevant to the keyword and not to off in left field somewhere. So, Chris, what is one of your examples of what not to do?
I see this a lot from new advertisers or people that don't really feel comfortable in AdWords. They put their company name in the headline or even in the description. Don't do that.
Let me back that up with one of my examples of not what to do. And it's funny we came up with this independently. Mine is that this is not a billboard. So take your fluffy slogan and keep it to yourself. I did a search, Injury Lawyers Cleveland, today, Chris, and someone had as one of their headlines, When the Hurt Need Assistance.
What?
Come on, Cleveland. What? Well, what does that even mean? And that's their slogan. And that doesn't... It's not a benefit to the user. It's not a feature for the user, as Chris was talking about earlier. It's got nothing to do with the keyword, and it's not a call to action. So what is your slogan, When the Hurt Need Assistance? How is that going to help someone click on your ad? So take your slogan and keep it to yourself. Couple more examples of what not to do, Chris, is that I just want to let everyone know. People love their own industries. They love working in their own industries and getting in the jargon and all that kind of stuff. This is not cocktail hour. Let me repeat that, Chris. It's not cocktail hour at your industry conference in Las Vegas, okay? So take the industry jargon that's way too deep for search users and keep it to yourself. And I'm speaking to doctors here primarily because they love their terms. But also, I'll give you an example for movers, Chris. If someone does a search, Movers New York City, and they see an ad that says 26-foot truck, thick shrink wrap, and then XXXX whatever certified for some industry jargon, we're whatever certified, who cares? If you need a mover that's on time, that's trustworthy, that has a lot of experience and a good reputation, they don't care about your thick shrink wrap. So don't get too deep into your own industry. You're not at cocktail hour. You're not talking to people in your industry. You're talking, for the most part, you're talking to users who need help. So focus on the things we talked about in the main tips. Now, Chris, let me take us out here with a question for you, and I get it from clients all the time, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because I tend to towards leaning towards no, but I'm not really sure of my answer here. So what happens when a client comes to you and tells you, oh, hey, we're in the credit line business, and we want to lend, say, lines of credit to small businesses, whatever, and then take a fee of their credit card while they pay it back, merchant cash advance or whatever. But we don't want to deal with small players. So anybody with less than $50,000 of revenue a month, we don't want to deal with. So, Chris, you made great ads for me, buddy, but go ahead and change what you made with your ads and put a big thing in the headline that says, only for companies with revenues of $50,000 a month or more, and if you're smaller, don't call us. Does trying to deflect types of users work in your experience with Google AdWords when you're doing that with the ad copy?
I don't think so. Personally, I don't think it matters, because I have to go back to my additional tip that I had said. I think people don't pay enough attention. They pay attention to the landing page. You know, when they go to the landing page, they're there to read. But that little ad and the fact that they'll say, you know, we do residential only. We do commercial only. You know, we do, you know, businesses with 100 million plus only. You know, everybody thinks they're a special case. Every business thinks, well, you know, I don't have that many, but I'm going to grow, so I still count. No, you don't. But they're still going to click, and they might even try and call. So I don't think that exclusive messaging matters, because I think people will still click if they want to click. The you can put it in there, but I haven't found that it really makes a big difference.
I tend to agree. That's what my line of thinking as well, and I agree with you. And the thing everyone has to remember is, yes, we didn't talk about quality score that much and the behind-the-scenes things, because generally what's good for users is good for quality score. But trying to come up with something that makes your ad get clicked on less, that's most likely not going to be good for quality score. So you always have to factor that in. So, Chris, hey, wow. Just like, where does the time go here, buddy? It's time to wrap up. It's time to pull up our pants back up and our jean shorts and head off to Luby. So, Chris, do you want to take us out here? I thought this was a great episode. Yeah. I'd love to get your guys' feedback. Damn it, please leave us some iTunes reviews. That's the way I'm closing this show. We've got a good show here. I searched iTunes this week for AdWords, for marketing and all that kind of stuff. Come on, Chris. We got good sound quality.
Yeah.
We look good on camera. We got good banter. We bring the facts every week. Can we get some reviews? You've seen what the other people have with reviews.
I'm gonna take us out with this, because here it is, people. When you search Google AdWords on iTunes. I was on a roll and then I screwed it up. On iTunes. We are not first, and I think each and every one of you should take that as a personal mission to make sure that we are.
Yep.
If you believe that this is a good podcast, it is your fault that we are not first, because we don't have enough reviews. We should be there, and it should be useful to people, and they don't know it's useful unless you tell them. That's what we want you to do. Leave us some reviews. Share it with someone. Post it on your media of socials, and someday we'll be on Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, and you'll say, I took those guys there. It was me. I was part of that grassroots campaign. We want to say thank you for that. And be sure and check us out next week, where we'll bring you more relevant, useful information about Google AdWords. And you can see I am using rule number 2 here in my outro to hit on your emotion. This is a practical example, always practical. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Nicely done, Chris.
You like that? I was super.